is actually you can actually delay for a couple of minutes here. We'll just give you about another minute or so. So I will just wanted to point out to the a couple of things I forgot to say that I was probably supposed to say. So you know, the phone's off, obviously, or the ringer off, and then just for the speakers, there is a a pointer if you need it right here. Okay. And I think that we'll just give you like one more. You can almost get started anytime that you want. Okay, so for our next speaker is Brooke. Did I get that right?
Yes.
Brooke Blaney from University of Maryland. Okay, Brooke.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Brooke Valina. I'm a PhD student at the University of Maryland. My advisor is Dr. Joel Leacock, sitting right there. Just to give you a brief background on the work I'm going to present today, we started this study when we got funding from the National Strawberry Sustainability Initiative back in 2014. And although our funding ended just after a single year, we continued that work for two further years because we thought it was an important work. So what I'm going to present for you today here is going to be a summary of our results from studies over 3 years and also some of the lessons we learned. Just to give you a brief background on the U.S. strawberry industry, it's a 2.5 billion industry as of 2013, probably higher now. The U.S. supplies roughly one-third of the world strawberry supply. Limited access to water is one of the major constraints to production, and that's because production is almost entirely dependent on irrigation. So anything we can do to improve that process will go a long way to contributing to the sustainability of the industry. Now, sensor networks are one of the tools that are being used with great success in other ornamental industry. One of the advantages they have is you can automate irrigation events based on soil moisture content measurements or based on soil water potential measurements. So they have a great benefit. Now, of these two, soil water potential is of the beneficial of or you know the more full parameter because it tells us whether water is available to plants or not. Now, the problem is measuring it in soil is really a challenge. As you can see on this picture here, there are plenty of instruments you know that can measure soil water potential. Most of them have a limited range, and sometimes when the sensors have a wider range, the accuracy of that data is not that great. So, great parameter, but with its own challenge. I'm going to come back on these two sensors, MPSX sensor and TIET tensiometer later in my talk, but these are some of the sensors that we can use to automate irrigation events. Now, whether we are using soil moisture content or soil water potential, the most important thing is to understand what the effect of incremental water stress is on plant growth, yield and yield components, as well as fruit quality. So that was our objective when we did this work. Now, as I said, we did this work over 3 years. We kind of changed our approach on the third year, which I'll explain in a little later. The first 2 years, we did a similar kind of work. So what I'm going to present here today is two contrasting results from 2015 and 2017. And now, for both years, our experimental design remained the same, except that during 2017, we reduced the number of plants to 20 per plot, And as a result of that, the plot sizes were a little bit shorter. But other than that, we had the same experimental design throughout the 3 years. We had a sensor network in place with each plot having an NR5 control node, 10HS sensor, GS3 sensor, which measures, in addition to moisture, electrical conductivity and temperature. We had an MPS6 sensor, a single MPS6 sensor, TA tensiometer, as well as Badger flow meters. We had a weather station on site, and all of these parameters were measured on a 15-minute interval, and that data was sent to a sensor web-based station. So just to give you a brief information on these two multi-potential sensors. So the MPS6 sensor, as you can see, has a really wide range, you know, from close to saturation to air dry soil, but reliability of the measurements is not that great. Whereas the TA field tensiometer, that's like the gold standard, it measures with great accuracy anything starting from, you know, plus 100 kilopascal to minus 85 kilopascal. So we had both of these sensors in place. We had the TA tensiometer basically to validate the results that we are seeing from the MPS6 sensors. Now, as I said, we had two strategies, you know, when we implemented our treatments. Basically, what we did was we developed the soil moisture retention curve at the beginning of the study using the high-probe apparatus. To the data, we fitted the Van Genuchten Moalem model, and we obtained these model parameters. Now, we wanted to set our treatments based on matrix potential levels. So we selected minus 30 kilopascal for the control and 10 kilopascal drier for three deficit irrigation treatments. The volumetric water contents that you see here are the corresponding volumetric water contents that were obtained, you know, from that soil moisture retention curve. So our strategy was during the 2017, 2015, and also 2016. Was to control irrigation based on soil moisture content measurements. So we had two 10HS soil moisture sensors in each plot. Data was averaged, and whenever the average value dropped below the set point, a 4-minute irrigation was applied throughout the whole day. Now, during the 2017 study, we kind of changed our approach slightly. Data from the MPS6 multi-potential sensors was averaged, and whenever the average dropped below the set point, again, a 4-minute irrigation was applied, but we gave all treatments the chance to irrigate only for 5 minutes every hour throughout the day. That was our approach for these two different seasons. We collected all the parameters that you see here on six plants per bed. We categorized fruits into three size classes, and we also tried to determine these fruit quality parameters in the lab. Now, I have presented during the previous year results from the 2015 experiment, just to give you a brief highlight. We were able to control the soil volumetric water content, as you can see, within a very narrow range of the set point. The lines that you see here always increasing are the irrigation application in gallons. In terms of plant growth parameters, we didn't see any significant difference except for root dry mass, which was significantly higher for the control treatment, but otherwise all plant measurement parameters, number of branch crowns, leaf area, as well as all the other biomass measurements were not significantly different. Now, in terms of yield, as you can see, we had a significantly higher yield for the control treatment, as opposed to The deficit irrigation treatments that were controlled at minus 50 kilopascal and minus 60, the reduction was about 30% from the control treatment to the deficit irrigation treatment. Number of fruits per plant was significantly different as well, being highest for the control treatment. There was no significant difference in terms of individual fruit mass. We had significant differences in terms of irrigation application, as you can see as well, with the control treatment having applied the highest amount of irrigation. Now, coming back to this year's study, we controlled our treatments based on average matic potential values from the MPA6 sensors. So this is the matric potential dynamics during the treatment duration from March 29 to June 14 for the control treatment. As you can see, there are periods during which we had, you know, sufficiently high rainfall, basically to that pushed the matric potential back to close to saturation. But at various times during the treatment period, we have reached our set point of minus 30 kilopascal. This table gives you the percentage duration during which the matric potential values were between these categories. So for this treatment, control treatment, as you can see, we had our matric potential value for roughly 27% of the time, between 20 to minus 20 to minus 40 kilopascal. Just to show you again the dynamics for the deficit irrigation treatments, I'll go through this quickly. As you can see, all of our treatments have reached their set point at various times during the study period. This table gives you a better picture, so you can contrast the duration for the various treatments. More importantly, if you see the second table here, what we have here is the duration during which our treatments were within 5 kilopascal or within 10 kilopascal of their set point. So for the control treatment, for instance, for roughly 13% of the time, the matric potential was within 5 kilopascal of the set point, which was minus 30 kilopascal. The rest of the time, it was wetter. The matric potential was wetter, or it was drier for these percentages. This slide shows you the duration during which the matric potential values were within 10 kilopascal of their set point. So when we come to the results in terms of plant growth parameters, we didn't see any significant difference. We have a slightly higher leaf area for the control treatment as opposed to especially the deficit irrigation treatment, but the result was not significant still. Now, in terms of yield, we didn't see a significant difference, but statistically significant difference, but the reduction from the control to the deficit irrigation treatment was about 10%. So this can still be biologically significant yield reduction. But as you can see here, we still had the control treatment applying the highest amount of water. Just to mention, these values are not based on the entire study, but only for the treatment application period. So the water use efficiency numbers that you see here are slightly higher because I didn't consider the irrigation application during the establishment period in the fall. This table gives you a p-value matrix basically for all the 9 harvest dates that we had during 2017. As you can see, the results were only slightly significant for the harvest on the 31st of May, YPP being yield per plant, fruit per plant, and individual fruit mass. As you can see, all the harvest dates had an insignificant values. Now, in terms of fruit size distribution, we basically had a similar distribution over the years. The only difference probably was during the 2017 study, the percentage of fruits which weighed above 20 grams were slightly higher as compared to 2015. We didn't see any significant difference in terms of fruit quality parameters as well between the years. So basically, pH was you know, between 3.3 and 3.5, you know, for all harvest dates. Titrable acidity, we had a slightly higher titrable acidity during 2017, which basically decreased our sugar to acid ratio, but other than that, results were not significantly different. So when we come to our conclusion, we know incremental water stress can decrease strawberry yield as well as number of fruits per plant, but we didn't see any significant difference in terms of individual fruit weight as well as water use efficiency. So we are going to repeat this similar experiment in the greenhouse to have, you know, a better control of, you know, all the environmental parameters that were affecting our research. So, thank you. Questions? That's a good question. So the question was, you know, there is a strong indication that you can see significant yield declines for strawberry, even now wetter than minus 30 kilopascal. That's a good point. The reason I started at minus 30 kilopascal was now when I did this experiment, there was an individual who has been doing strawberry research for a very long time, and in my conversation with him, he told me that he uses minus 30 centibar, which is minus 30 kilopascal, as his indicator to start irrigation. So my idea was, you know, I can start from there, and you know, apply progressively less water to see what the effect is going to be. So, but it's possible that. You know, we can see declines even at higher matric potentials than minus 30.
So we're going to have to cut it there. We do have our third speaker, so if you can come on.
Thank you very much.
So thank you to Brooke.